Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. Zechariah is permitted with his loosened tongue to preach the word of God, to prophesy, filled by the Holy Spirit. And out comes what today we call the Benedictus, this wonderful song of God's deliverance, celebrating that the Redeemer of all was there at John's birth. For he was there in the Blessed Virgin Mary, 3 months pregnant, who had come to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now Elizabeth had given birth safely to John in her old age, and there was great rejoicing in the house, for a baby was born to announce the Redeemer's arrival. Zechariah had been put under orders by the angel of the Lord in the temple when the angel came to tell him that he and Elizabeth would have this baby. Zechariah initially questioned God's angel, and he paid for his doubt of God's word with 9 months of divinely enforced silence. Common custom of the time would be to name your son, your first son, after your father, and then after yourself if a second son was given. So maybe because Zechariah was old and his father was long dead, or maybe because he shared his father's name, the neighbors and relatives gathered for the baby's circumcision and naming suggest the name Zechariah for the baby. And that's appropriate. Zechariah, as in the Lord's divine name, Yahweh. Zechariah, Hebrew, means the Lord remembers. Certainly the Lord remembered this faithful couple, granted them this great gift, a safely delivered baby in their old age, a miracle baby to a couple who up to that point had been barren. But the hand of the Lord was with this miracle child, and Zechariah more than anyone else knew it, and he had 9 months to think it over, didn't he? John is his name, Zechariah writes definitively on the little tablet. John. This is the word Yah Kanon in Hebrew. Yahweh Kanon in Hebrew. Turns to Yohanan in Greek and to Johann in German, to John in our English. It means the Lord has been gracious, or the Lord is a gracious giver. That was Zechariah's first prophecy, this name, preaching God's word. Zechariah's tongue was loosed, and God had much more to say through him. He went on to say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouths of his holy prophets from of old." God spoke from the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. These prophets were God's mouthpiece, God's messengers. They conveyed God's word to his people here on earth. Now, when we tend to think of the word prophet or prophecy, we think predicting the future. But in God's word, prophecy is just simply the preaching of God's word, which might indeed deal with the future, but it also deals with the past and the present. When we hear prophet, we ought to hear preacher of God's word. So we think of all the canonical prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, and on to Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. But that also includes the other prophets chosen by God to speak his word. Noah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Moses and Aaron, Samuel and Nathan, David and the psalmists, Solomon and all the sages. But all those men, they spoke one message, one driving thing, that there would one day come a Savior, the one promised to Adam and Eve in the garden after the fall into sin, who would crush the head of the serpent while yet having his own heel struck. This Savior would save God's people from real enemies who have real hatred for God and those who love God, from sin, death, the power of the devil, and all his wicked demons who afflict God's people. The fathers of old had been promised that great mercy, that one offspring of Abraham and David would take the place of all men and take and bear the punishment due to all sin and die and suffer the pangs of hell that we all deserved for sin. God is gracious. God is a great giver of gifts. John's name implies it. The wait is over. The Savior and Redeemer is here. God has raised up the horn of salvation, says Zechariah. The trumpet blast of God's kingdom has come. Now that note will sound through yet more preaching. Zechariah turns to his own child and says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring, the sunrise, will visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." God has sent John the Baptist, this last greatest Old Testament prophet, and he is the greatest because he is the first of the New Testament prophets at the same time. He is to be this prophet of the Savior, to go before him to prepare his way. And that meant that he was not going to speak any kind of milquetoast, soft-pedaled, weak-kneed law that is no law. No, he preached an in-your-face, locust breath, no time like the present. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, at hand. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. To prepare the way for the Lord, for every mountain and hill to be made low and the uneven level ground leveled and the rough places made plain, to make straight the highway for our God. Hearts must turn and repent. Your heart must turn and repent of sin. And your heart must bear the fruit of faith that is kept with that turning away from sin. And the prophet of the Most High also gives straight 100-proof gospel, too, for each repentant heart. He shines light for those who struggle in darkness, to give knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins, the compassionate mercy of God. John comforted the people. Their warfare with sin, death, and devil is over. Iniquity is pardoned. The Lord has given double for all your sins, not giving you, the sinner, to pay for your own sin, but he paid the double price in your place, his only begotten Son for you, that wonderful Son of Mary, for whom John leapt in the womb, is the Redeemer of all. Said John, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Zacharias, by the power of the Holy Spirit, prophesied concerning his son John. John's importance was not that he would do miracles. No, John's life was one of solitude and humility, a wilderness life like his forerunner Elijah, living off the land. And John's importance was not that he would be a great king and wear soft clothes and live in king's palaces. No, his life would be taken violently at the hand of a drunken king. low-life fake king. John's importance lays in the fact that he is the forerunner to our Lord Jesus. John's job was to give knowledge of salvation in the remission of sins. He joins the past to the present and points us all to the future, a future made sure by a real miracle, the real king, the babe of Bethlehem who stooped down for us men and for our salvation from heaven to do what no mortal man could do, to save you and me and all men from their sins through his innocent suffering and death and glorious resurrection, and to open the way to everlasting life for you and me. Nowadays, many men try to be prophets out there in the world. Preachers abound. They preach many messages. Some even preach Christian-sounding messages. I hate to say it, but the Joy Lady in her column in yesterday's paper, I was glad she extolled Christ as Lord and that Christ had paid for her sins. But then she took it all back by the end of the column. She said, "No sermon could ever say anything to people out in the world who need hope better than if we Christians would just be joyful, happy, and have smiles on our faces, and we would laugh our way through life. No sermon could be any better than if we were happy and smiling all the time." In other words, preaching the Word of God is inconsequential unless we act happy and put on a happy face to make Christianity more attractive to people. Now, I want you to have, as Christians, joy and good times in life, but I also know there's a reality to Christian life, that we live under the cross. Not everything for the Christian is rainbows and sunshine and happy. And you can ask John the Baptizer about it when you get to heaven. And some preachers out there try to preach a very milquetoast, half-hearted law with a little gospel. Many sermons not too far from here today, and 98% of those on television and Christian radio will maybe acknowledge Jesus, and they might acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, but for too many preachers today, the message of the cross, that's just old history. We don't need to keep going over that all the time. That's done now. Today, too many men say, "Hey, let's talk about some things that you can do today for the Lord so I can give you some coaching on how to be happy, healthy, wealthy, well-adjusted, with a happy marriage and children." And some will say, "If you bless God by doing this or that pious work, hey, God will bless you back with material blessings." The milquetoast coaching material, this therapeutic talk that's out there today, it's no real law, not like John the Baptist preached. And the gospel is not there to comfort anyone. Most of what passes as preaching today is designed to give people something to do so that listeners can feel better about themselves, affirming themselves. That's not the message John was born to give. That's not the message of the Savior from sin that he gave his life for. But what the Christian pastor does is supposed to be what John did. He may not eat locusts and wild honey for his diet, and he may not have to dress in camel hair and live out in the wilderness, but he will have that diet, and he will have that location theologically, metaphorically speaking, because the preacher of Christ is not the preacher that this world wants to hear. And the preacher of Christ is not the world's therapist. The prophet and preacher of Christ is to have a strict diet of prophetic locusts and apostolic wild honey. That's why pastors wear clerical collars, not just a uniform to wear, but a reminder, hey, you're bound to God's word. You're a slave to it. Your pastor is to teach you from this word of God. He is to give you the knowledge of salvation in Jesus alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. He is to give you the forgiveness of sins in so many different ways, on Sunday morning and during the week, in word and sacrament. That's not how the world sees ministry today. It's led astray by false prophets galore. That's why things are different for the congregation and the pastor who really believe the Word of God and take it seriously and who really practice what the Word of God preaches. It puts you out there with John the Baptist. It's ordination season now. Men have received their calls. Friday was Cantor Schultz's 10th ordination anniversary. Congratulations to him. Today is my 11th anniversary, and this man preached a wonderful sermon that day. And former Vicar Stecker will be ordained on July 8th in New Haven near Fort Wayne. And Christ the King in Mooresville today installs their first called pastor. And that congregation is now part of our circuit. So off I go this afternoon. And next Sunday, the congregation in Crawfordsville, also part of our circuit, is installing their new pastor. By God's grace, they now have a solid man to preach and teach to them God's word. All this is a reminder to us, this 6 months away from Christmas, that God is a great giver. He gives and he gives and he gives out of his grace to you, his church. And he gives you preachers of God's word, preachers of salvation in Christ. Like John the Baptist, he has given this congregation great preachers for 160 years. And he'll keep doing so. Like John the Baptist, who have called the faithful to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent John as a forerunner of Jesus, the prophet of the Old and New Testaments. Send us preachers who will teach your law and gospel rightly, calling sinners to repentance and bestowing on your behalf the forgiveness of sins you have paid double for through the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.